Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. It is far too nice out. I couldn't sit down in the basement, so I took the laptop and the USB mic. I'm sitting by the pool. I'm outside. Neighbors can think I'm nuts as I read late night jokes to you. Steve Colbert said to encourage people to get vaccinated, some governors are getting creative, like Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. DeWine took to the Twitters to announce a drawing for adults who have received at least one dose of the vaccine. The winner will receive $1 million. Wow, you know what you could buy with $1 million in Ohio? Toledo. It's a bit of a fixer-upper. Jimmy Kimmel says, sounds great, but you know somebody's going to get vaccinated like 40 times trying to increase the odds. I've heard that joke in real life. Everybody's saying the same thing. Fallon, you know some idiot out there is like, yeah, but after taxes, it comes out to like only $800,000, so it's not really worth it. Trevor, and I know some people will say, but isn't helping to save humanity enough of an incentive to get vaccinated? Well, yeah, Trevor, yes. To which I say, hell no. Have you seen humanity? It's full of jerks who will only get vaccinated if there's money in it for them. Fallon, yeah, $1 million vaccine lottery, and this is fun. Instead of drawing it from a basket, they're going to pull numbered cotton swabs from somebody's nose. Trevor, by the way, the best part of this lottery is you don't have to worry about holding onto a ticket. You see, if you win, they'll just find you using the microchip in your bloodstream. Horatio Sanz is on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, 11:30 on your NBC. The laugh button tells us Fallon is developing a version of The Tonight Show that will be exclusively geared for children. Why, Jimmy Fallon? Why? The show will air on Peacock and be hosted by children. Why? The show will tape in Studio 6A, which is right across the hall from where Fallon tapes the actual Tonight Show. Many of the games and segments that Fallon features on his show will also be making the leap over. Fallon will executive produce the show alongside Lorne Michaels. Why? Fallon will also produce an upcoming animated holiday special for the network called Five More Sleeps Till Christmas. An NBC suit says, we continue to be in awe of all things Jimmy. Who else could run The Tonight Show, executive produce, and host brand new formats? Listen to yourself speak, suit. Executive produce and host brand new formats. You just sound like a robot. And adapt his own best-selling books. Jimmy does them all with his signature style. We are privileged to call him a longtime member of our broadcast family. Bill Carter is the guy that wrote the books about the late shift when it switched from Carson to Leno. He also wrote about the second late night war between Leno and Conan. The laugh button said, speaking of Conan, in the time since you chronicled his leaving The Tonight Show and the war for late night in 2010, wow, it's that long ago? How do you think he's fared or evolved in these last 10 years? Bill Carter said, he's a hugely appealing guy and funny guy and talented guy, so his work has been consistently great. His first, I don't know how many years on TBS, he was still Conan. He was still doing the kind of show he did on The Tonight Show, and he's more affected than I think other people by the changes in the way people watch TV. TBS is not NBC. Even as NBC is today, TBS is not NBC. And him going to TBS always meant that he wasn't going to be challenged to be the most watched late night guy. That didn't make his work any less good. His work was still good and funny. And he was still very creative and hugely respected in the comedy community. So all that's been great. I mean, look, was it a career setback to lose The Tonight Show? You'd have to say yes, and he would say yes. That was his dream, and he didn't really get a full chance at making it work. Obviously, again, even though he'd done the other show for all those years, The Tonight Show was different. It took Leno 2 or 3 years before he found success with The Tonight Show. It takes time, and he didn't get time. I think that's always going to be a wound for him, and I feel bad for him because I think he's a terrific guy, and I like him enormously. The left button points out how weird it is that Conan is now the elder statesman. Bill Carter said, it's remarkable. One of the things I said in the podcast, that's his podcast Behind the Desk, it's pretty good, check it out, was I was talking about Kimmel, and I was about to write in my script that Kimmel is now the longest host, and I was like, no, wait, it's Conan. It really is astonishing, and he's going to drop the late night show in June or something. He's gravitating over to do a variety show or something, and that's insanely great, fantastic. It's a long run, and he can only do that if you're completely committed to it and have a bottomless depth of talent, because it's a grind to do these shows, but it's also something that they love. Most of the people love the job, and that's why it's hard for them to leave. But Conan's beginning was so rugged, so tough. I was with him writing about it in those days, and I would hear from NBC saying, who is this guy? He doesn't know what he's doing. And who's the fat guy on the couch with him? It was really rough. The joke is he was getting 13-week renewals, but it really was week by week at one point. Yikes. They're talking to people behind his back. It's really an amazing testament to how hard he worked and how he found his talent. He just found it and packed it with comedy and gave himself a distinct voice. Enough people liked it, and then he's a hit. Dave E. Club said, let's jump further back to the Late Shift book. As you're working on the book, is there a eureka discovery moment where you felt like the story of what happened was really starting to take shape? Bill Carter said, "That's a very interesting question for this reason. When I proposed writing the book, my agent was like, yeah, that's great. But a couple publishers were like, how can there be more story to this? It's been covered everywhere in the press. But I'd spoken to several people behind the scenes at Letterman and several people behind the scenes at Leno who told me, oh, no, this story has not been told. People have no idea what happened here. So I knew going in, there was what people were promising and I just had to get it out of them. Fortunately, because the shows were so competitive, there was a back and forth and I could sort of go to one and say, hey, I just heard from the Letterman show that this happened. And they'd say, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. So I'd get versions of it and I could pick through it and find out what really happened. But there were so many revelations to me. I didn't know that Jay Leno had an absolute confirmed contract before Carson stepped down. There was no chance that Letterman was getting it. Whoa. The contract with Jay had already been signed, I think, 9 days before Johnny stepped down. That was not written in any newspaper at all. And at the end, they were just playing with Letterman that maybe they'd get rid of Jay and give Dave the show anyway. That was not written at all. And certainly not that Dave was going to take the deal anyway till he called up Carson himself and Carson told him not to do it. There were so many things, one after the other. When you're writing a nonfiction book, you sometimes hope to yourself, gee, I wish I could say this happened. Well, in the case of The Late Shift, I didn't have to because it did. I was like, oh, I could just write this now. The crazy thing just happened. And I have to say, one of the interesting things is people have continued to come up to me about that book every week or something on Twitter. People are like, I love that book. It had never been out as a digital book. It was the 90s and we didn't do those. So my agent and I talked and we got the rights. And now it's a digital book. You should read it. It's fantastic, by the way. Also seek out the HBO movie. I'm pretty sure it's on HBO Max called The Late Shift. It's a little cheesy, but it's a lot of fun. Definitely check that out. More with Bill Carter coming up later in the week. It's a very long interview. You'll find the whole thing in the laugh button. Also from the laugh button, they were at one of John Mulaney's shows last week. Their review was Roy Wood Jr. started the evening with an energetic, upbeat set where it was wonderfully apparent that he was happy to be on stage in front of an indoors New York City crowd. After a quick 10, he brought out the next opener, lingering on a showman's pause before announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Rock. See, you thought I was going to say John Mulaney. Do you hear the plane? I am poolside. Chris Rock. Whoa. The crowd hushed themselves into silence, waiting for the punchline of the cruel joke. There wasn't one. It was actually Chris Rock in a jean jacket and Detroit Lions cap. He immediately sized up the kind of audience that John Mulaney brings in. The reviewer from the laugh button said, we ate it up, enthralled to have him try out new material and eager to help him find his way through a loose, joyfully meandering, one-of-a-kind set. He then introduced John Mulaney and the audience erupted. Mulaney strolled out in jeans and a white sweater, not his usual suit and tie. Mulaney first lamented others unfairly reviewing his previous two shows. Those shows were intended to be starting points for new jokes, not the tight, finished, memorized material that would ultimately result. He took issue with the internet calling his set raw and vulnerable, and then announced that whether or not that may have been true earlier in the week, I don't feel like that tonight. Interesting. The raw and vulnerable were obvious references to Mulaney's retelling of particular events that had found their way into the tabloids. Anybody keeping up with him was likely expecting him to touch on those things. He did not disappoint. Nearly the entire show was devoted to this most recent chapter of his life. Throughout the show, he flipped back and forth between reenacting and narrating, revealing his thoughts at the time and his more measured opinions of those thoughts now, while the audience enthusiastically supported him during the entire ride. Evident throughout the night was Mulaney's deep comfort on stage, made all the clearer when he told us exactly what a marked contrast to the deeply uncomfortable situations he had shared with us via his artful storytelling. A few times, the reviewer says, I found myself squirming in my seat with cringe and self-recognition. It was a journey of poor decision-making and self-reflection, told with that confident and hilarious John Mulaney swagger. We were overjoyed to be hearing the story directly from the source, in no small part because we knew this tale had a happy ending. We were looking at it. I'll tell you, behind the scenes here at Daily Comedy News, John Mulaney, good for the numbers, especially the Olivia Munn stuff on Instagram over the weekend. Doing really well, John Mulaney. I wish you the best. Any John Mulaney news is good, and I hope it's all happy. You know, John Mulaney gets a new puppy. John Mulaney buys a new car. Happy to report it here. Just another jam-packed show again today. I just bumped two stories as I'm talking to you. Let me tell you about Joe Rogan had on Anthony Cumia. Anthony, you may know from the Opie and Anthony radio show, which at one point around the turn of the century was better than Howard Stern for a good, I don't know, 3-4 years there. This is the Opie and Anthony that was on WNEW-FM in New York City back in the day. I used to enjoy the heck out of that show. Now, there are lots of aspects of Anthony's career and resume and behavior that I want no part of. But his appearance on Joe Rogan was very compelling, especially if you're a radio guy like me. They talked a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and they talked about comedy. So check out Joe Rogan with Anthony Cumia. This week's top dog is a special one. You are deciding if you would rather sit through Adam Sandler's film Jack and Jill, Adam Sandler's film Uncut Gems, or if you'd rather me just punch you in the face so that you don't have to watch an Adam Sandler movie. Let me know. Go to Instagram.com/Daily Comedy News. Find the image. It's got a picture of someone being punched in the face, plus Adam Sandler dressed as Jill, plus Adam Sandler in his Uncut Gems role. Would you rather watch Uncut Gems, Jack and Jill, or me just punch you in the face? I know what I'd pick. From the BBC, if you're in the UK, you are excited, I imagine, that the lockdown rules were eased the other night. Barry Ferns founded the Angel Comedy Club at the Bill Murray Pub. He said it was a relief to get back on stage. He did a show at 1 minute past midnight on Monday. As soon as he could get on stage, he did. He was one of six comedians who performed for an audience of 45. That's half the usual capacity. Ferns told BBC, everybody was slightly nervous at first. It felt like a prohibition bar in 1920s America, even though it was totally legal. It felt like it was illegal. Should we be laughing with other people in a confined space? He said the pandemic has been the longest period he hasn't performed in 15 years, so it was really hairy there for a while. In the audience, there was a bit of nervousness at the beginning, and then everybody relaxed. And then it got to the point at the end of the night when nobody wanted to leave. They just wanted to hang out, be together in a space. It was really quite moving. And the night went on, and people relaxed. It became more and more moving and poignant and significant. The idea to put on a show at 1 minute past midnight was a joke that we took seriously. It was in a staff meeting, and we said, oh, yeah, we shouldn't just do it straight away. We should do it 1 minute past midnight. Everyone laughed, then there was silence, and we said, actually, technically we could. And then we asked for the late license from the council, and they didn't refuse us, which felt like a legitimization, and it was like, all right, looks like we're doing it. In San Antonio, comedian Whitney Cummings visited over the weekend, but she made a, quote, harrowing turtle rescue. This from KSAT. Whitney Cummings shared a video on her Instagram page showing her picking up trash in the San Antonio River, some of which was found near a turtle. In the video, Cummings appears to be at the river walk near the Pearl. She reaches for trash pieces floating in the river by lying down on the concrete and using a long stick. She pulled out a straw, a plastic bag, even some twine that was found next to a turtle. The video's caption says, prep for a stressful video. I love San Antonio, but this trash in the river near the turtles spun me into manic insanity. It all ends well. The turtle was safe from the dangerous twine after Cummings removed it from the river. KSAT says it's unclear why Whitney Cummings was visiting the Alamo City or for how long, but she did make one thing clear in the video. She and her friend were going to indulge in some of San Antonio's best food offerings, tacos. And from Cleveland19.com, a 34-passenger open-air comedy club on wheels took to the streets of Cleveland over the weekend, treating customers to a part comedy, part history tour of Cleveland. Two tours departed from Collision Bend Brewery. Yeah, so we know how this went, right? The Funny Bus takes guests through several parts of downtown and through surrounding parts of the city, including Ohio City, Tremont, and the Flats. The trip is part sightseeing tour, part comedy show featuring local comedians who entertain and interact with acts. Guests can bring their own beer and wine in sealed containers. Small coolers that fit under the seats or on a guest lap are allowed. Basically, we're going to drink on a bus, and if you want to perform comedy in front of us, go nuts. That's your comedy news for today. So many leftovers again. Remind me Memorial Day week when I'm like, oh my God, there's nothing, and I'm just like making up stories. Remind me how busy this week was. It's wonderful. I bumped three things again today. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Back tomorrow.